Welcome back to WNMU's Media Meet. I'm your host, Walt Lindela. As we continue this 38th District State Senate Candidate Forum, I'm now joined in the studio by Ed McBroom of Vulcan, who is running as a Republican in the race. Hello, welcome.
Thanks very much, Walt. Glad to be here.
Well, to start off with some basic information, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you are running.
Well, I'm 37. I grew up, born and raised on my family's dairy farm in Waseda. We milk right now about 125 cows. I farm with my folks, my wife, Sarah, our five children, my brother's wife, Susan, and their eight children. Mm-hmm. So we're very blessed, and it's a special place to us. I went to Northern to become a teacher in music and social studies. And as I was farming and waiting for the full-time teaching position to open up nearby, just really became cognizant of how much the state was attacking our way of life and making it difficult to live here in the UP, mm-hmm. both through legislation and through regulation. And I became very involved through Michigan Farm Bureau and had the opportunity to run for state rep in 2010, served 6 years in the House mm-hmm. to fight to preserve and protect our way of life, not just mine on the farm or in the schoolroom, but all over the UP.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some of the key issues that are out there. I'd like to start with roads, which are by many considered to be in poor shape in the mm-hmm. state. The state legislature has taken some recent steps to address that. Did they do enough, or is there room for more improvement?
There's certainly room for more improvement, but especially because of the term limits that we have in this state, you can see the legislature has really been unable to move kind of generational mm-hmm. important issues mm-hmm. since term limits kicked in. So there's many big issues that need to be dealt with, and road funding was one of them, hadn't been touched since 1997. Mm-hmm. We've floated several different plans. I supported several different plans. We finally got one that got enough votes, and it is bringing in significantly more money. And if it hadn't been for the strike this summer, you'd see even more action going on. Mm-hmm. Next year, we're going to see even more as that funding ramps up. But one of the critical things that really needs to be done is fixing the way we fund the roads, and that's a constitutional issue, and so it takes the supermajority votes, and the legislature hasn't been able to muster those. But we really need to look at it and say, we're paying more taxes at the pump than almost any other state, and yet spending less of that money on roads than almost any other state, and that should be fixed. I've been a big proponent of that and would love to see that done. The plan that we did pass is bringing in significantly more revenue for roads. I would say in the long run, it's not going to be enough. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was proud of accomplishing in that plan was getting an increase on the homestead property tax credit that offsets for most users in the UP the increase in the gas fund, and that way helps us direct money directly to roads rather than money through the general fund that came through property taxes, and provided property tax relief, which folks here desperately need.
Jobs in the 38th District come from a mix of sources. It's logging, it's agriculture, it's mining, tourism, education.
Manufacturing.
Manufacturing, yes, absolutely. What are your thoughts about maintaining these jobs and also increasing these jobs here in the district?
Yeah, it's so important for us to be a diverse economy here in the UP. And it's great that we have the base industries, kind of the production base, mining, timber, agriculture. These are wonderful and need to be kept vibrant here in the UP. Agriculture in particular has been hurt by the mismanagement of the bovine TB issue below the bridge. Forestry continues to be hurt by the national government's inability to properly manage the federal forests. Mining is something that we see percolating along here in the UP, but we're fighting hard to see Empire reopened. It'd be a great thing for us. Mm-hmm. Manufacturing's growing. There's so many opportunities. One of the key ways that we can help it, though, is by changing the way we're educating students. We need to get the state's cookie cutter methodology of what it takes to graduate high school out. Return control to the local schools like we had prior to 2004 over the curriculum that it's requiring. Return that control back to your local school board. Let the professionals in the classroom and the parents and the students work together to find career paths and educational paths that are best for each student. Lansing cannot do that. It's just not capable. And as we see our communities needing truck drivers, needing machinists, needing electricians, needing the skilled trades, needing musicians even, the arts are dying because the state has said, here's the perfect curriculum for everybody, and that's nonsense. So I fought John Kivala and others to get that window opened up. In 2014, we were able to open a small window up, allowed people to get out of one credit of foreign language if they were doing welding, basically, and a couple other small tweaks. The time is ripe to really roll back more of that, return more of that local control, help our communities to work with the students and the schools in such a way that leads students into the careers that we have here, so students can stay here and keep working here when they realize, I'd like to have my family grow up where I grew up.
We're speaking with Ed McBroom, who is a candidate here in the race running as a Republican for the 38th State Senate seat. Let's shift into education. When we look at education, the funding formulas have been found to be by many underfunding of both K through 12 and higher education. What would your plan be for funding for K through 12 to increase the education that you reference?
Yeah, we need to really consider moving away from this strict formula of counting noses and paying by the nose. Okay. It leads our schools to not being able to make good financial decisions because they decide they need to save money here and the students leave and go somewhere else. It's creating an inability to have that local flexibility over what we're doing. We need to create a new formula. It involves certainly population, but should cap classroom sizes at a small size and pay by classroom, I think, is part of that idea. It's something I've been working on with a number of education experts, both here in the UP and other places. Let's change this formula in a way that's more adaptive to our community's needs, especially as we see declining enrollment. You lose 12 students in a year, but they're not all from the same classroom. But suddenly you're out 12 times $8,000. That's a lot of money for a school to suddenly lose.
So that would be some of the key formula funding for K through 12 you'd like to see changed.
And then we also need to remove things like transportation from the per pupil funding, because that's inherently unfair across the board to different districts that have large transportation requirements versus those that have small ones. So those are just a few ways that we can really start. Clearly, we should adopt an amendment that restricts the use of the school aid fund to K through 12 education. I'm a big supporter of that. And we need to do a lot more for the higher education to find a way to both increase the availability of the funding, but also hold more accountability. And our Constitution gives the universities what they call autonomy. And that makes it very difficult to hold them accountable to how the money is being spent. Mm-hmm. And so I support significant reforms requiring the Open Meetings Act to be over the universities. Right now, they don't have to do that. So there's a number of reforms we need to both enhance and the efficiencies of the money spent, but also we should be keeping up with the demands as well.
Young people have been leaving the region for multiple reasons over the last several years.
Yes.
We hear about it after graduation from high school or graduation from college. Why do you feel that's happening, and what would you do if you were elected to address that?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the Michigan Merit Curriculum, I hold largely responsible for a lot of this forcing students into a career and education path that then does not leave them with opportunities here in the local area. Mm-hmm. And that's been foolish and short-sighted by the state, forcing that on our communities. So I think the reforms to that I mentioned earlier are a significant part of that. What I'm excited about and bullish about for the UP is that as you go around to the various communities, especially with what Michigan Tech is accomplishing in the Keweenaw, there's so much reason for optimism as people my generation and younger are coming back and they're utilizing the internet as a chief resource to have their business, whether it's manufacturing or services, here in the UP, and they're providing that out all across the world. So the more we can do to enhance internet access across the UP, I think the more opportunities we're going to continue to generate for young people to come back here.
Well, let's flip that around then, that with the remaining population in the UP is an aging population. Mm-hmm. What is your plan for state-provided and supported senior services?
We need to really consider how we're directing funding at our local level. And the state has had a hard time keeping up with the costs at the local level. The state itself, the budget's been stagnant for 20 years, being stuck between $9 and $10 billion general fund every year. And so while the overall budget has grown significantly, the actual amount of money that the legislature appropriates that has that flexibility over is quite narrow and static. And due to that, the state has really failed to maintain its obligation to our local communities It put caps on them, said you can't raise funds local, and then the state has failed to fill that in through revenue sharing and other programming. The change that we made on the property taxes has been something that's worked out well with essential services for the communities, but the dark store issue is taking away from them. And so we have these push and pulls going on that allow the locals the flexibility they need to provide the services. The state of Michigan is not the best mechanism to deliver senior services to most of our communities. So we need to find ways to update the tax structure. We need significant property tax reform, as that's a huge issue that's looming in this state.
Main points of that for you would be what in terms of those reforms or property tax?
We need to fix the dark store loophole primarily. That's a huge issue. We need to deal with the fact that we are slowly carving up the property tax code by fixing little problems but not addressing the whole. Proposal A was a generational reform to a property tax crisis that did well for us for over 20 years but is now starting to show its age. It's time to really reconsider and reform and update that.
We have a couple of minutes left. I like to give everybody an opportunity to, as I say, make the pitch.
Why
as a closing statement from you, why vote for Ed McBroom?
Well, I think that if folks will examine my record of service in the House, they'll see that I was a problem solver. I was somebody who built coalitions and worked in teams. I was somebody who wasn't necessarily a party guy, not rah-rah for one party or the other. I worked hard with John Keevil in particular. We made a great team together and got a lot of things done, whether it was, you know, a facility that the state was backing out on in Alger County, and John came to me and I worked with him to go to the governor's office and get that amendment added. I mean, these were important things that John and I did together. I think that record speaks for itself, and that people can look to that and say they know they're hiring somebody for this job who's going to be open to listening to all perspectives, who wants to work with people of all persuasions, and who can find ways to get things done, and is also somebody who has studied very hard the rules, the old laws, how did we get here. I have a passion to deal with things in a fair manner, to hold government accountable, and to reform it when possible. Reform is the answer to a lot of the archaic ways that the state has created problems and doesn't follow its own rules.
And how do people find out more about your campaign?
Now, they should go to my website, mcbroomforsenate.com. Especially, you know, I've been working hard on the auto insurance issue. There's no better way to return money to people's pockets than to reform the most expensive auto insurance in the nation.
Well, that's about all the time that we have for in this segment. We'd like to thank Republican 38th District Senate candidate Ed McBroom of Vulcan for joining us here today. And we'd also like to thank Democrat Scott Dianda of Calumet for joining us earlier on this candidate forum. I'm Walt Lindela. Thanks for watching Media Meet.
The preceding program was produced in studios located in the Edgar L. Hardin Learning Resources Center by WNMU-TV, Northern Michigan University Public Television.